If you want to go ahead and turn and open up to the book of Colossians, if you would. If you want to go and look at the table of contents, if you have trouble finding it, about midway through the New Testament. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Before the book of Revelations, after the book of Matthew, after Romans. For the Thessalonians. I want you to think for a second about your reputation. Think about what your reputation is, and think about what that means to you. If I were to ask you right now, what is it that people say about you when you're not around? Not in a gossipy way, not as a slander way, just what is it when your name comes up that people think of? Now let that sit there for a second. And then consider, is that what you would want it to be? Because sometimes there's this huge chasm, isn't there? Because I grew up in another state, and I trusted Christ when I was 8, and I walked with Christ as much as any 8-year-old kid can walk with Christ. And I walked with Christ up until about 8th grade. And then in 8th grade, I still kind of was walking with Christ. At least, I was still going to church. I was still in small groups. I was still doing the things that church kids do. I'd grown quite weary of the label of being my mom's son and my dad's son, because I felt like that came with a lot of expectations. And some of you might know what that's like. And so I started trying to not be that guy. And when I didn't want to be that guy, I made a lot of bad decisions for a period of probably about 4 or 5 years. What's funny to me now is if I'm here with you guys in Texas, which I've lived in Texas 18 years now, 18 years in Texas have consisted of this. I've had 2 jobs, both of them at churches. I've attended 2 seminaries. I've earned 2 different seminary degrees. And everybody in Texas knows me as a pastor. Now, my reputation in Texas would look different than my reputation in Louisiana. Because if you talk to the people I went to high school with, they would have trouble imagining this Lance that you know. And truthfully, you probably would have trouble understanding the Lance that they know. Because the reputation was so different. And I want to know for you, what's your reputation? And think through it, because we're going to start a book tonight that is really a phenomenal book, where Paul is writing this letter to this church. It's written to believers. If you know Jesus Christ here tonight, this has weight for you. This is written to believers. And these weren't people he'd ever met before. He's never been there before. He and Timothy actually write this letter together. They've never met this church. They've never been to this church. There's a couple of people they know from the church. But he writes them a letter. And it's one of the books that we have in our Bible. 66 books, this is one of them. God seems to think this letter is pretty important. So we're going to start with it. Hopefully you're there. Colossians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, and Timothy our brother, to the saints and the faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae. Grace to you and peace from God our Father. Now I'm going to tell you that if you've been around the Bible at all, you kind of read that and it just kind of rolls off your back. It's like, well, yeah, that's no more than me sending an email or a letter to somebody that says, Dear so-and-so. And yet we read this, and I want you to see, there's so much packed into Scripture that there's not a single word that's there by accident, and there's not a word we really can remove. God says, leave it in there. And so if you start looking at it, it looks like this. Paul, an apostle. What's an apostle? Apostle is someone who is sent on a mission. Paul starts off and says, you want to know who I am? I'm Paul. I'm someone who is sent on a mission. I'm on a mission. How many of you would describe your life as a mission? See, we just read this stuff and we just blow through like da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Paul says, I'm writing you this letter because I am on a mission. I have something to say. and it's directing and controlling and influencing and calling the shots in my life. Who was I sent by? Jesus Christ himself. It was Jesus Christ. And you, if you know Christ, you are the same way. You've been sent into your world. And if you're coming into the semester and you're thinking, I don't know what I have to offer. You know what? I'm just a freshman, sophomore, junior, senior. I'm here. I don't really know what's going on in my life. I'm just going to kind of make it through the semester, take a class here or there. I'm going to see if it comes together. Jesus Christ would want to say to you, you're missing it. I've got something for you. You know those classes you're in? I put you there. I know you thought it was the only available section. I want you to know I've got a purpose for you there. See, I start reading the first two verses, and I can get blown away. We could spend an entire hour. What does it mean to be sent? Where are you sent? You've been sent into your home. You've been sent into your family, into your job, into your workplace, into the club, into the organization. I think some of you have heard me say before, I was in a restaurant with a friend of mine who was speaking at a retreat that our church was having, and I'm sitting there in this restaurant with him, and our waitress has had a bad day, and it was apparent she had a bad day. Have you ever had one of those waitresses? And I'm sitting there, and I'm a little chaffed. I'm like, you know what? I'm sorry you're having a bad day. I need refills. And I'm upset that I'm not getting them. And all of a sudden, I watch Ken look at this waitress when she comes back, and she's frantic, and she's sitting there. And he looks at her and says, you know what? I can tell you're having a bad day. I want you to know this. You don't need to worry about us at all. You just do whatever you can do. If you can bring back a pitcher of water at some point, that'd be great. If you can't, that's fine too. I want you to know right now, we're going to leave you a big fat tip. And you don't have to worry about us. I'm like, dude, you just gave her the ticket never to come back. And our whole demeanor just changed. And when I realized that, I'm sitting there like, dude, really? And Ken is there and he's thinking, you know what? God sent me into this restaurant today. And I don't know what's going on in her life. Single parent, maybe not. Maybe she's fighting with her husband. Maybe she doesn't have a husband. Maybe a child's sick. Maybe a child just died. Maybe her car broke down. Maybe she doesn't know how she's going to pay rent. All I know is she doesn't have to worry about us, and we're giving her a big tip. I'm like, okay. See, people that have a mission say, there's not a wasted moment in my life. Paul starts off and he says, look, I'm an apostle. I have been sent by Jesus Christ by the will of God. Talk about having purpose. You and I are like, well, you know, I'm just going to kind of roll with it today. Paul says, man, this is what we're doing. Timothy, our brother, and to the saints and the faithful brothers. And see, this next phrase, there's two phrases there. In Christ at Colossae. You know what that means? That means we've got this dual citizenship thing working. In Christ, you belong in heaven. If you know Jesus Christ, you've got this citizenship in heaven. You're a believer. But he didn't just call you and bring you home. If his number one purpose in your life was to bring you to salvation, the moment you came to salvation, you'd be gone. Imagine how great that would be. You go to Young Life Camp, you go on a Christian retreat, and it's like, dear God, I pray, thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. And it's like, gone. Imagine how empty the buses would be coming home. Because you'd all be gone. No. See, what if he had a bigger purpose for you in coming to salvation than just bringing you home? What if he had something for you to do? What if there was something he wanted to accomplish in your life? And what we get here is it's in Christ because I'm a believer in Jesus Christ. And okay. But then he says at Colossae. And for us, that would be you who are in Christ in Wichita Falls. And you know what Christians seem to do really well? We seem to do really well at one or the other, don't we? Okay, I am a Christian in Christ. And so this means all my friends are Christians. I don't talk to anybody else. All I do is go to Bible studies. And I read books all the time. And that's all I do. I don't even know an unbeliever. But if I do meet one day, I promise I'll tell them about Jesus. Okay, so that's one way we live. Or we live this way. I met Jesus at camp. And I know Jesus, but I don't have anything to do with being in Christ. My whole life is Wichita Falls. My whole life is my social setting. And so you might not even recognize me as a Christian. And yet Jesus and Paul wants to communicate, what does it look like to be a person on a mission that knows Jesus, that lives right where you live? How might that change the way you and I approach class? How might that have changed the way that you approach the people that live on your call? I'm here and I'm here, and God brought those two together in me. See, you've got a story. And in your story, you have this unique makeup. Nobody else has it. And you could say, oh, come on, that's a little overplayed, Lance. No, really. You got a spiritual gift. You have a heart for something. What drives you? Then you have some abilities. Then you've got a personality about how you view this world. And then you have some experiences in life. Nobody else combines those five things the way that they're combined in you. That's it. You're an original. I wonder what it would look like if we said, Lord, take these five things, those things I just said, the spiritual gift that I have, the heart that I have for this area, the abilities you gave me, the personality, the way I view the world, and the experiences you gave me, Christian home, not Christian home, broken home, great home, siblings, only child, whatever is in your past. What if God says, I want to use you, I want to send you on a mission? Paul found it, and Eustace and I seem to have one. Grace to you and peace. See, that's just two verses. And if we just read through those, we blitz through them, and we don't ever think about anything. We're just like, yeah, get on to the good stuff. And we would have just missed all that. There's something there for us. Look at what he writes, verse 3. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you. Now, how great of a saying is that? If somebody said, look, every time we turn around, we're thanking God for you. Ooh, thank you very much. Wouldn't that make you feel pretty good? That's what he's saying. We're always thanking God for you. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love that you have for all the saints because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. Since we heard of your faith, look at that, verse 4. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love that you have for all of the saints. You know what their reputation was? Their reputation isn't that they knew it all. It wasn't that they didn't ever associate with somebody that made bad decisions. It wasn't any of those things. Their reputation was that they loved people well. Now, I want to ask you this question. If I were to ask you, what is the reputation of Christians on the campus at MSU? Now, you could throw out a lot of answers. Would one of them ever be that we just love people so well that people know about us because we love well? I don't think that's what people come up with. I think people come up with something far different. Well, they're judgmental, they're critical, they don't hang out with us, they're snobby, whatever. They carry big Bibles, they don't have any fun, they laugh at funny things, stupid things, they don't watch rated R movies. See, I think we come up with all that other stuff that would be our reputation, but what Paul wants to say is, look, here's the deal. When we think of you, we give thanks because of the way that you love people. Because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, of this you have heard before in the word of the truth, the gospel, which has come to you as indeed the whole world that is bearing fruit and growing. Now, put your finger there in Colossians. I want you to turn back to the book of Acts. I want you to see one verse. And it's a remarkable verse that sometimes we just might blitz over and we might not really see it for what it was. But Acts chapter 1, verse 8. This is Jesus. He's already been crucified. He's already resurrected. He's meeting with his disciples, and he's got a word to them. So this became real to the disciples when Jesus got arrested and went to the cross. All of a sudden, it was real. This wasn't Jesus saying, you know, tear this temple down, and in 3 days I'm going to build it up again. They didn't know what that meant. Now they got a better idea. This is real. And so Jesus is talking to them. He's giving them some instructions, and he writes this. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Now, if you knew anything about Middle Eastern geography, you'd be really excited about that verse. You look at that list, and I'll translate it into our terms. Okay? Here's what it would sound like for you and me. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Wichita Falls, in all of Texas, in the United States, to the remotest parts of the earth. See the message? The message starts off, and he says Jerusalem, which is right where they are, and then said all of Judea, which would be like going to your state of Texas. Samaria, like the United States, remotest parts of the earth. And here they are, they're over there, and yet the gospel's made their way to them. It's made it to them. And so what God said is going to happen, you guys stay right here in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit comes. You stay right here until I show up in the form of the Holy Spirit. And then when I do show up, you just go and watch the gospel explode. You know why these people are Christians? Because it happened. Because God did it. God did exactly what he said. You guys stay here. I'm sending the Holy Spirit. And when I send my Holy Spirit, you're going to be witnesses there, and then there, and then there, and then there. These people that are reading this letter are the very reason that God said do this. They're the fruit of it. That's exactly what he said was going to happen. Verse 6, which has come to you, as indeed in the whole world it is bearing fruit and is growing. That's what's happening. Remember, guys, Acts 1:8, I told you I was going to do it. I'm showing up. I'm doing it. And you're the fruit of that. You're exactly what's happening. As it also does among you since the day you heard it and understood the grace of God and truth, just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant. They knew him. He was in their church. That's his connection to them. He's a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf and has made known to us your love in the Spirit. He said, matter of fact, we haven't met you, but you know what? Epaphras, he knows you. And Epaphras is telling people about what you guys are doing. Have you ever noticed that people talk? People always talk, don't they? A lot of times, we give them the wrong stuff to talk about. A lot of times, the word is, well, he or she isn't doing that, they're not making a good decision. They did this, they did that, whatever. You know how great it is when the word comes to you and it says, hey, let me tell you about so-and-so. I had that chance not long ago when I was in college. I led a group of guys in a Bible study for 4 years. And these guys were troopers because we would meet for a breakfast Bible study at 6 in the morning. Their parents would drop them off and I would drive all these kids to school. Talk about feeling weird. I'm a sophomore in college doing carpool. At their school, and I'm dropping them all off. It's like, hey, have a great day. You know what? You know how cool it is when I go back and I hear somebody say, hey, did you hear what so-and-so's doing? He's an elder in the church now. He's a what? He's an elder in the church. Did you hear about so-and-so? He's teaching the young marriage class at his church. And I just think, God, look what you did. Look what you did. It wasn't me. I hate to think of even what I taught them. I don't even remember. I'm sure I taught them all kind of garbage. The reality was I took whatever God gave me. I'm like, here it is. It's not much, but let's go have breakfast. And I just did. And you know how great it is when I sit down and I hear somebody say, hey, let me tell you about so-and-so. Because I know it's not about me. And you know what? It's not about you. It was me in college saying, you mean God wants to use me? I might be one of these people that was sent by Christ Jesus by the will of God. I might be one of those people that God wants to have on a mission. Okay, it seems hard to believe. And then I watch him grow up, and all I can do is think, God, you're doing it. This is Acts 1:8 all over again. You're doing it. God wants to use you in Acts 1:8. It's a remarkable thing. Look at where he goes from there. So he offers this prayer. That's their reputation. Look at this prayer that he offers on their behalf. I want you to throw up that first slide so that you can follow this prayer with me and see where he's going. I'm going to read this. Read verses 9, 10, and 11 with me. Paul writes this, and so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you. By the way, did you catch that's his second time to say that? Verse 3, we thank God the Father and we pray for you. Now it's from the day we heard, we have not stopped praying for you. Talk about faithfulness. Asking that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing the knowledge of God, May you be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for all endurance and patience and joy. I want you to look at his prayer request. This would be a great prayer for you to pray for other people. Truthfully, it'd be a great prayer for you to pray for yourself. But this is how Paul says, every time we think of you, we pray this. Matter of fact, we haven't stopped praying this for you. One is he gives thanks for them. Look at this next one. Being filled with knowledge. What's knowledge? He wants them to grow and understand this book. Now, what you and I both know is this. You can know this book and not act upon it. But what we cannot do is act upon this when we don't know it. Right? We are incapable of living out this book if we don't know it. So his first prayer request for these people is one that they would be filled with knowledge, that they would understand it. But the second one is that they'd be filled with wisdom and understanding, because wisdom is different than knowledge, isn't it? We all know smart people that make stupid decisions. Wisdom is knowing how to apply knowledge. It really doesn't matter. I was laughing with somebody over the weekend that was doing something, and I thought, I could never do that. I have no idea what they're doing. I've got some knowledge. I have no idea how to apply it to that situation. That's wisdom. Do you have that? Wisdom, a skill at knowing how to take the knowledge you have and applying it in life. And understanding is that you actually can figure out what's going on around you. Now think about how powerful that is if you can combine those three things. One is you've got the information in your head. You know how to apply it because you understand what's going on around you. See how powerful that is? If you miss any of those, which one would you give up? You want to give up knowledge? You're just going to have wisdom without any information back behind it? No, that didn't work. You got to give up understanding? Well, that's great. That means you've got a great ability to understand how computers work. The real shame of it, though, is you don't work with computers. You work in an aquarium. Well, that's not the right environment for your job. Not that something's wrong with that job. It just doesn't work. Paul says, I want you to have knowledge. I want you to have wisdom. And I want you to have understanding. I want you to have the information. I want you to know how to apply it when you understand what's going on around you. That's what he wants for them. The third one, walk in a manner worthy. Walk in a worthy manner. You know, it's funny, that idea of walking, how do you live your life? Because it's not stagnant. How many of us, and all of us have fallen in this trap, where life just feels like it's not going anywhere. And I really haven't walked with the Lord since the last retreat I went on or the last mission trip I went on, and I'm not really growing. It feels just kind of stale. Paul says, I don't want you to experience that. I want you to keep walking. I want you to keep moving forward. I want you to sense the Lord in your life moving you forward so that you can please God. And then look at that. Bearing fruit and increasing. Bearing fruit and increasing, which is what happened when Acts 1:8 happened. It bore fruit and kept increasing. That's how it got to you. Now he says, I want you to carry that forward for somebody else. That's a great prayer. Wouldn't you like somebody to pray that for you? That those things would be true in your life? Well, you can't always control that, do you? Okay. You know what you can control? You could pray that for any number of people. Are you praying that for somebody? I tell you, it'd be a great prayer list. Just fill in the blank. Write that list down somewhere in the back of your Bible, and you know those blank pages that are really thick, that you don't ever know what to do with them. Write that down and just put a blank. And then tomorrow morning, pick a name, somebody you love, and say, Lord, today I give thanks for blank. I pray that you would fill them with knowledge, that you would fill them with wisdom and understanding, that they would walk in a manner worthy of you, that they would please you today, and that they might bear fruit and increase. And do that 5 times tomorrow. I tell you what, if you do that over the course of the week and you pick 3 people in your world that you love and pray that prayer for those 3 people, at the end of the week you will pray that prayer for 21 people. Man, what a great prayer. I know that at one point I had somebody tell me they were praying that prayer for me. I look up now and I say, man, what a gift. Some days I walk in those things, and some day I don't. But I will lay odds that I walk in those things more than not, and I will attribute it to the faithful prayer of some people in my world. That's how he's praying for them. He affirms a couple of things in them. That's where we'll wrap up. Look with me at verse 12 through 14. So he's going to pray those things for them. And then he states some things that he just affirms. These things are just true about them, and they are true about you. 12 through 14. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. I want you to look at this. Go, if you would, click on the next slide. We're told in that verse, Paul outlines four things that God did for you. And I want you to know, on a good day, these things are true about you. On a bad day, these four things are true about you. So at the end of any day, when you have a chance to give thanks in whatever your circumstances are, you might not say, man, I give thanks I got into that wreck today. That comes across a little bit funny, doesn't it? Had some friends in college, came to know the Lord, and they were the wildest guys I knew before they knew the Lord. And then when they came to know the Lord, they were the wildest guys for the Lord I'd ever met. And I'd walk out of class, and this guy would be like, praise the Lord, hallelujah. And I'd be like, man, that's great. What's going on? He's like, I just got an F on a test. I'll be like, so, great. You're like, no, man, I'm trusting that the Lord's going to do something great with this guy. It's great. What do you anticipate he's going to do? I don't know. But he's going to do something. And sometimes we come across phony if we come across that way, right? Because you know what Christians have? Christians have bad days. But Paul lays out four things here. Then it doesn't matter if you're having a good day or a bad day. You got in an accident. Life's falling apart. Your boyfriend or girlfriend broke up with you. Whatever. It doesn't matter. There are four things that you can give thanks to God for today. One is he qualified you. What did he qualify you for? That you get a share in the inheritance of the saints. By the way, that term is past tense. He qualified us. It's past tense. It's done. The moment you became a believer, the moment you trusted Christ, you moved to have this inheritance of the saints. You know what? I can thank God for that on any day of the year. It doesn't matter what's going on. Thank you for qualifying, because what I know is this, I couldn't qualify myself, but he did it for me. That's the first one. Look at the next one. Rescued from the domain of darkness. From the domain, you took me out of that. Now, all of us have a different that, don't we? And every one of us think, man, you don't know what my pit is. That may be true. I don't know what all of your pits are, but what I would tell you is this. Whatever that pit is in your life, God took you out of. He qualified you, and then he rescued you. He said, you were created for more than this. I'm taking you out of the darkness where you didn't know where you were going. You were bumping into things. You're bumping into yourself. You didn't understand life. Life had no sense. You had no vision. You didn't know anything that was going on. I rescued you from that into this kingdom of light. You can see, you can have a vision, you can move around. There's freedom. Think about what it feels like when it's dark. How many of you lay there in the dark and you're thinking, I'm scared, I'm not going to move? Because it immobilizes you. You're free to move when the lights come on. It's not as scary. You've been rescued. You've been transferred from one kingdom to another. That word was used when they took somebody from a colony and they said, you know, we're going to start a new colony over there. We want you to go over there. That was you. You got transferred. You've been in this colony of the bad people. I'm transferring you to my people. I'm giving you a new people. I want you to go over there. And you're like, okay, I'll go. I don't deserve it. That's true. You didn't qualify yourself. I qualified you. But I couldn't get out of the pit. That's true. But I rescued you. So I'm transferring you from here to there. You got a new lease on life. And then that last one is you were redeemed. You know that word. You redeem a coupon. It's when you buy back something that was in captivity and you buy it back. That was you. What are you worth? Well, God counted you worth his son's life. I don't know how he does that. I've got a son. I love a lot of you. Some of you I just met. I wouldn't let my son die for any of you. Not being mean, that's just the reality. I don't understand how God loves me enough to say, Lance, I will redeem you through letting my son die on the cross for you. I don't get it. I don't, personally, I can't get it. I don't have to get it. It's just true. And he died for you. And in doing that, he bought you out of the captivity that was that pit that you were rescued from because you were in the kingdom of darkness. He transferred you to this new colony, all the grounds that you couldn't qualify yourself, but he qualified you because of what he did. I don't know. I read that, and Paul seems to say to the Colossians, look, you guys have issues. You know what you do really well? You love people well. You don't always have wisdom. You don't always understand what's going on. You sometimes lack knowledge. But you know what you do? You love people well. I wish that was our reputation. Our reputation is we seem like we know it all. We seem to lack wisdom. We don't understand what's going on around us. And we don't love people well. He says, you know what you guys do? You love people well. And we can fix the wisdom and the knowledge and the understanding. You love people well, you get it. So I want to ask you, what's your ability to love people? How well are you doing at loving people? Just being kind to people, caring about them. I'm always amazed when I have those moments in my life where I've got so much going on in my mind and I just miss people. You ever like that? You just miss them. Remember one day I was at work, when I'm waiting tables, this guy comes in, and I just did the obligatory, I'm like, hey bud, how's it going today? And I didn't care. I didn't even want his response, really. It was just obligatory. And I was like, just say fine. That's what you're supposed to do. Hey man, how's it going? What's he supposed to say? Fine. You know what he says? My fiance just called off the wedding. I'm like, okay. Cody, we have pets. And you're like, so talk about that. Sorry. Okay. Did you get back the ring? Okay. You know, and you're just back and forth, and I'm like, what does it look like for me to actually love a person? You know what it means? It means I don't have all the answers. It means I don't always know what's going on. But it means that I actually will be present long enough to say, you matter. And I'm going to stop long enough to let you know that. One of the things that's been a scary statement for me is because of the various lives that I've lived between going to different schools, living in different towns, having friends through the church, having friends through sports, having friends through my parents, that there were all these worlds. And the most scary moments to me were always when somebody said, hey, Lance, you're Lance. I'm like, yeah, hey, how you doing? Well, I've heard about you. Okay, now, where did you hear about me? Because where you heard about me is about to determine how I respond. Well, I heard about you from when you were in the fraternity. Okay. Well, I heard about you from a junior high teacher. Okay. Heard about you from a youth pastor. Well, now, I have a couple of those. Now, tell me which youth pastor you heard about me from. Well, I heard about you from a camp. I heard about you from here. I heard about you from Grace Church. I heard about you from Trinity. I want you to know there's something that is so great when your reputation is you love people. When that's your reputation, you don't ever have to be afraid. Somebody saying, you know, I heard about you. Somebody was talking about you the other day. When your reputation is that you love well, you don't ever have to fear that coming. Sadly, our reputations don't always look like that. I'd encourage you today, one, is that whatever is going on in your world, that before you hit the pillow tonight, that you take a chance to say, God, thank you for doing that for me. And then I'd love for you to start praying that other slide. Start praying for those things and the lives of the people you care about. Let's pray. Father, we give you thanks for being a God that loves us, that has qualified us, rescued us, transferred us, and redeemed us. We are your people, and we are forever grateful. We couldn't have done any of those things on our own, and you've offered them all to us for a gift. Help us be people that are known by our love Give us wisdom, knowledge, understanding, that we might walk in a way that brings you honor and glory, that we might bear fruit and increase as we continue to carry on Acts 1. I give you thanks for our time tonight. It's in your Son's name we pray. You guys have a great night. College Bible Fellowship on Sunday mornings at 9 o'clock. We love